May, as most of us are used to, is a month that we, as a church, focus especially on mission. It's not the only time of the year that we give attention to mission and support people who are serving. But I do want to acknowledge those that are serving in various parts of the world and the need for us to pray and to stand with them and to give. Thank you to Jeff, who has been sharing some information on a weekly basis, as we are normally have the information held out to us so that we can be aware and informed and be active in our support. We just want to acknowledge people who are serving, sharing resources with people and trusting God and doing good in places where it's most needed. So don't forget to be able to play your part prayer and in giving and in even communication with folks who are in these situations that would appreciate a text, an email or a phone call at various times. Their story is important, your story is important, and I want to take us back to a story that was written about 2,700 years ago in the life of a man by the name of Hezekiah. He was a young man who became king, and he reigned for 29 years, it says in 2 Kings chapter 18. And he was king over Judah, and he was there in Jerusalem. And it was a time of crisis for them because there was the king of Assyria, King Sennacherib, who had a great deal of success in overthrowing nations. And he had a great long list of nations where he had conquered, and the city of Jerusalem was on his radar. And in fact, they had a great army that had amassed just outside of Jerusalem. And he sent a message to King Hezekiah to more or less say, "You may as well surrender because we are of such strength and such might that there is no point in offering any resistance." And he, in verse 19 of 2 Kings chapter 18, he challenges Hezekiah's faith and trust in God. And he declares his own greatness, and he says to Hezekiah, "On what are you basing this confidence of yours?" And another literal translation of that would be, "What is this trust that you trust in?" And I've been challenged over these last weeks about how we face these changing times and how we do it and how do we practically trust God? I was appreciating William sharing with us last week out of Psalm 37, and it's a special psalm for me, and I know for many of you. But we're told in difficult circumstances where the going gets tough to trust in the Lord and do good, trust in the Lord and enjoy safe pasture. And there are many places in the Word of God, in the Old Testament, and also in the New Testament. A lot of places in the Old Testament really stand out where the people of God are strongly encouraged or commanded even to trust God. And I pondered that, and I thought about the New Testament and how often it is mentioned that we need to trust in the Lord. Quite often in the New Testament, the Old Testament is quoted. And so it's something important and something that we can take hold of, I believe, in these days, to trust God. And as I've reflected, and as my habit in trying to sort of capture my thoughts and capture what I've read in the Word of God, I've put the question, so what have I learned? What have I learned in this time? What have these restricted activity directions, how have they affected me? And what do I take from this significant time? Who do I rely on? Who do you rely on? What do you take from this? And I felt like God was saying to me, "Michael, trust me. Trust me when life seems good and everything's going fine. Trust me when, you're finding it difficult, when you're weary and you're heavy laden, when it's hard. Trust me when you feel like a failure. Trust me when you feel left alone. and perhaps we can feel a bit left alone at times like this. Trust me in times of uncertainty and when things are disappointing. Trust me when others won't trust me. And so the directive out of Psalm 37 is something I just wanted to hold out to you again and remind you of what William said. Trusting Jesus, that is all. There's a beautiful old hymn that you might like to reflect on the words. It says, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. I think we need to be a people who develop a consistent and resilient trust. Because even though circumstances around us might change and we wait for the restrictions to lift even more, we're looking forward to that. We don't know what the timing will be. But even though we're unsure of things, I'm sure of this. I'm sure that our Heavenly Father is still faithful. I'm sure that He is still gracious. I'm sure that He is still mighty. I'm sure that He is kind and loving towards all He has made. I'm sure that our Saviour Jesus hasn't changed. I'm sure that He still saves people who look to Him. He still forgives. He still makes the way open for us to approach God with confidence. I'm sure that the Spirit of God has not changed. He still empowers His people. And so we are people who can still walk in a privileged place of trusting God, even though things might be not that familiar. We might be able to hear from the Watoto Choir in just a little while, where they also sing a song about trust, trusting God when my heart is failing, trusting when I don't know that I can carry on, trusting when I don't even want to carry on. And I think it's important for us to be people who put our trust in Him in a really practical sense. In pondering this, I looked, as I always do, at the seeking to capture the real meaning of the word trust. And in the Hebrew, trust can be translated as bold, it can be translated as confident, it can be translated as feeling secure, and to put my trust in, or to put your trust in, to rely, to be trusting. And that would seem like all reasonable translations. But it can also mean to be careless, or to be complacent, or to fall down. And we might think, well, how could that be trust? Well, it took me back to my childhood. And as a little boy, growing up in the family, with my mum and dad and my brother and sister, I felt so secure. I felt so safe. I felt so loved that I could be, in a sense, carefree or careless, because I was safe in the love of my family, of my mum and dad, and I had to follow what they said, but it provided for me a safe place. And I guess I was even complacent about that. I really didn't know how good I had it as a child. Some of us have grown up like that, and it's been wonderful. Some of us haven't had that privilege, and it's been hard. But to trust God means that I can live with a sense of careless trust, of even being complacent that my Heavenly Father, He knows everything about everything. He knows my ways, He knows your ways, He knows what the future holds, and I can live with a sense of casting all my cares upon Him, being careless in that very positive sense of the word. Now, I actually find it hard to do that. I don't naturally do that. But I'm invited to do that, and so are you. And to be trusting Jesus, that is all. And I think that's a marvelous thing. It's the most marvelous thing to know that you're loved, that you're accepted, and that you are cared for. And that is what God offers us through His Son, Jesus. And I want for us in this time to be appreciating that more and more. And I think about as we enjoy the security of being in our homes and having places to live, we are blessed. I'm sitting here by the fire and it's very comfortable on this cold and drizzly day. But this fire is something that needs to breathe. It needs to be able to get air, and if I can just open it up and you'll see the flames in there. And I've got here a set of bellows, which my grandfather actually gave my mum and dad has given them to me. And these bellows are marvelous things because I can actually train air into the fire, and I can fan that fire into flame, and I can really make that go. And the Bible says that we need to be a people who take this faith that we're given in Christ seriously. And the old apostle said to young Timothy, he said, "I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you." We long to see one another. We can pray for one another and uphold one another. I trust we're doing that. "I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy." You know, there is a privilege in being together in fellowship. "I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame," in a sense to poke the bellows there and to fan into flame, "the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-control." You're trusting Jesus. That is all. And Paul is saying to Timothy, "I am not ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to be to a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ before the beginning of time, but is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." We've got good news to share. We need to be reminded that we've got good news to live by, and to trust the one who loves us and has come to save us. And this message of hope is not just for us. It's for our children, for our children's children, for all those who are far off. It is for our neighbours and people that we see in the street. I pray that you will be one who is trusting Jesus, and one who is not ashamed to share this great love that has been poured into your hearts through the grace of God. May God bless you, and may he use you in mighty ways. And I pray this in Jesus' name.